Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Guys, Addie got a mic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had to beat you to it.
It's okay. I was like so tempted to like be obnoxious and like tweet out like, oh my God, something exciting news this week. But then I was like, no, like it's exciting for me, but I don't think that like anyone else would really care
give
about
a shit.
It.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah. So I was just like, all right.
I don't think that anyone wouldn't care. I just think they'd expect something huge.
Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't want to get anyone
after
excited.
The short case this week, they'd be like, I'm never listening ever again.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I held off. I held off on it. Anyway. Speaking of Twitter, part of me is like, yeah, let's shitpost on the podcast Twitter. And then another side of me is like, let's not do that because then no one's going to take me seriously.
I almost just spit my coffee out. Did you not see the shitpost I made on the Instagram this week?
I think I did.
The Bert and Ernie one? Because I posted it as because I was like, you know what? I'm going to... It's basically, if you haven't seen it, you should, one, follow us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP.
Yeah.
But last week, I also just want to put a little disclaimer before I get into this meme that I posted. But I don't know, as I was editing, I was like, some people are probably going to think we were being insensitive. And I just want to clarify, we were not trying to make fun of the case or the victims. We just wanted really, like, talk shit about this horrible, horrible person. And I feel like we needed something a little more lighthearted lately. And so,
yeah,
in no way were we trying to be disrespectful towards the victims or anything. We just, I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there. But anyway, so because we were having such a good time last week, the meme that I posted, it's a picture of Bert reading How to Murder Your Roommate and Get Away with It. And it's a picture of Bert and Ernie. And then the caption says, Bert's choice of reading material starts to concern Ernie. And I actually almost shit myself when I found that.
And they were roommates.
And they were roommates.
They were roommates.
So, yeah. I thought that was funny. And I started using hashtags and we ended up with like twice as many likes.
Yeah. I kept getting notifications for the likes and I was like thinking that it was like my regular Instagram and I saw that it was the podcast Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, we're popping off. Oh my God.
Yeah, even I was like, oh my God, we're getting twice as many. We usually get 5 likes and now we have 10.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Hey.
We're famous.
Listen, I was the most famous person at Thanksgiving, so. Hey, actually, that's a lie. My Uncle Mark was.
Same. My dad called me out and was like, oh, yeah, like, she has a podcast now. And my aunt, who listens to, like, those kinds of podcasts, was like, oh, my God, send me the link. And I was like, I did not send her the link. Maybe I will.
You should, because maybe she'll become a patron.
Maybe. But she gave me a couple recommendations for some other
cases.
Crime podcasts. Yeah.
Oh, podcasts.
Okay. Or other podcasts to listen to. So I might do that, because it might help me learn how to be a good podcaster.
Speaking of podcast, okay, I have a bone to pick real quick, and I know that he doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't care if I talk shit about him, because I've said this to his face. Justin Bacon, you piece of shit. His Spotify
full
Wrapped.
Government name.
I did not use his middle name. His Spotify Wrapped came, and ours was not on his top 5 podcasts.
Yeah, because he doesn't listen to it.
Because he doesn't fucking listen to it, but he had 3 other murder podcasts on there.
Big fan. Oh my God, wait.
So it's not even the content. His number one was Morbid. And I was like, I'm going to hurt you.
And it's not like he's here to listen to it while you're recording or anything. So it's not like he like hears them at all. He just chooses not to
Is he sick of me? Is he going to kick me out?
If my parents can listen to the podcast and be supporters of us, then Justin Bacon can listen to our podcast.
Okay, but him falling off the bed last night was fucking karma.
Yes, it was. And Paisley putting her butt right next to his head is also karma that he deserves.
Yeah, guys, last night I was on FaceTime with Addie and Justin was so tired from work and I was like, oh, I'll go in the other room or like hang up. And he's like, no, it's fine. Like, I'll probably sleep through it. And so I'm on the phone with Addie And I just see that he's, like, at the very edge of the bed. And I was like, he looks like he's going to fall off the bed. But I didn't think he was actually going to. And literally 10 seconds later, I hear a thud. And I look over. And he's holding his head. And he goes, my head hurts. And he, like, smacked his head against the bedside table. And I was trying so hard not to laugh because I felt like a jackass. But then this morning, he, like, accidentally woke me up before he was leaving for work. And I was like, hey, how's your head feeling? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you fell off the bed last night. He's
also,
like, what?
Can we just talk about how quickly he fell asleep? Because literally 2 seconds before he knocked the fuck out, he texted me a meme. And I, like, watched it. And then I texted him something back. And by the time that it took me to search up the video and text it to him, he was already asleep. Yeah. And I was like, what is it like? What does it feel like to not be an insomniac? Like, yeah. It took me 2 hours to try to fall asleep last night.
Same.
Ridiculous.
Well, mostly because I was still trying not to laugh about him falling off the fucking bed. That's the best shit that's ever happened to
Justin.
Me.
Oh my God.
Full on karma. Anyway, I do have one more bone to pick before we begin. And
no,
I've been meaning to say this. I know this person's not listening. But to the person that gave us a 1-star review on Apple with no context of why they gave us a 1-star review, fuck you.
What is it about us that you dislike? Can you email us? We promise that we
don't
bite. That we're not going to be hostile. Yeah.
I mean,
we don't
Addie
bite.
Won't be hostile. I might, but she won't be.
If you reach out to me on Twitter, I won't be hostile. But just let us know. Like, if you're going to give us a bad review, like, by all means,
at least tell me what I
did
wrong.
Tell us what we did wrong so that way maybe we can fix it and maybe try to be better. Because if you're going to give criticism, at least give constructive criticism. Like,
yeah,
I don't like the way your voice sounds. 1-star.
Well, and here's the thing, though, because people will go so far out of the way to give someone a bad review than they would for a good review. And so I just want to say, if you like our podcast and you're listening on Apple, please give it 5 stars because it does help our analytics a lot. And, like, I don't know, man. I'm pissed because, like, it's like Yelp reviews. Like, there's always 1-star Yelp reviews because people just get pissed about everything. And then they're like, I'm going to go on the internet. And so I feel like
we don't actually have
a 1-star podcast.
Yeah, no. And I also feel like people are more likely to give bad reviews than they are to give good reviews.
That's what I mean.
People really, really like it. Like, if someone really, really likes it and they, like, go out of their way to give a 5-star review, then that means that they really, really liked it. People who, like, enjoy it, like, no one's going to go in and give, like, a 3- or 4-star review.
We got a 3-star, actually. We also got a 3-star. So
maybe we're just mediocre then.
Well, we have 3 5-star reviews, so.
Okay, that's.
Well, and the thing is most of our listeners are not on Apple. They're on Stitcher. Like, 70% of our audience is on Stitcher, and Apple's the only place that you can actually rate a podcast. So.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
It's fine.
Meh. Anyway.
If you like it, let us know. If you don't, keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Anyway, I'm done my bitching if you want to get into your story.
Oh, yeah.
Ten whole minutes later.
It's fine. I'm doing this week's case. I apologize if it's a little short. Just a disclaimer before I start. Each one of the sources that I have says something different in, like, details. So as I'm going throughout this case, like, I'm going to be saying information that generally happened or, like, was the case, but not all of it's completely accurate because literally each source says something different. So, like, the details are going to be a little bit off, but that's fine.
I'm going to give you a brief description.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the most general overview of everything, and I'm just going to leave it up to you to use your
imagination. Fill in the details.
Yeah, fill in the details.
Hold on, real quick. I just wanted to turn my gain down a little bit. That's better. I feel like I was like, yeah, I don't know. My bar was like going out of fucking control.
Yes. When I laugh, mine's doing that.
Well, that's normal.
Maybe I have to laugh all the way back.
No, but even like just talking, it was like bleh. And I was like, no, thanks. Anyway.
Me when I wake up in the morning. No thanks.
No thanks. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about Lizzie Halliday.
I've heard of this.
Wait, you have? When I asked you, you said you've never heard this name before.
Oh, that's where I know the name.
Okay, I was going to say, bitch, I literally asked you if you've heard of this before, and you said no, and that's why I did this.
I know the name because you asked me if I knew it like a month ago.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to also turn my gain down, actually, because I just saw my bar like get to the red. Or maybe I should just shut the fuck up. Anyway. Okay. Will we ever get started? Who knows? So, Elizabeth Margaret McNally, a.k.a. Lizzie Halliday, was born in Ireland around 1859. Again, no records of her actual birthday.
It's like Michael Malloy. They're like, yeah, he's Irish. We don't know how old he is.
Yeah. And also, they don't even know that was the year for sure she was born, but mm-hmm. whatever. I digress. Her family moved to the U.S. when she was a very young girl. From what I can find, it seemed like she had a normal childhood, but I could be wrong. There's going to be a lot of that throughout this.
Addie.
I'm so sorry. Listen, I still have some details.
I know, I just love you.
So we fast forward in her life to 1879, where she married a man who went by the name of Charles Hopkins, but his real name was Ketspool Brown.
What the fuck? That is the name of my firstborn son. nobody take that from me.
And when I read that name, I was like, Cesspool Brown. Yeah, that makes
sense. Cesspool Brown.
Which, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. They had a son who is said to have been institutionalized.
Ooh.
And her husband died 2 years after that they were married, which is a common theme throughout this story.
Oh, lovely. Okay. All right.
In 1881, after her first husband died, she married a prisoner and veteran named Artemus Brewer, who died a year after they were married. Her third husband, Hiram Parkinson, left within their first year of marriage.
Oh, so he was like, bye, bitch?
Yeah, he was I'm checking out. Yeah, thank God. He was smart. He was one of the smart ones. At this point, you might be thinking, this lady does not have a good track record when it comes to relationships.
That's actually not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking she's killing her husband, actually.
Hmm. Not a bad conclusion that you come to. Very interesting. You're giving away the whole thing.
I'm not giving anything away. It's a murder podcast, and you say two of her husbands die a year after she married them? Bitch, don't even start.
We can pretend that there's an illusion. Okay?
All right, guys, pretend I didn't say anything. Just ignore everything I just said.
It gets worse.
Of course it does.
Yep. After this, she promptly married a man named George Smith. He was a friend of her second husband, Artemis, and was also a war veteran.
Oh, God.
This time, she tried to poison him by putting arsenic in his tea, but it didn't work out, and he survived. So good. She ended up fleeing to Vermont.
Oh, my God. The drama.
Where
does this happen again? Where did you say?
I think this first started in New York?
Like the state
The state.
Is that okay? The state. I didn't know if you meant like New York City or...
No, I'm pretty sure that her family moved. It just said that they moved to the U.S., but I'm assuming it's somewhere on the East Coast.
Okay.
Is the best way I can describe it.
I didn't know if I was just not listening well or if you had already said it. And I just...
No. I'm assuming it's in New York. Either her family moved to New York and then she kind of bounced around, or she was just in this like general East Coast area and kind of just bounced around. Where was I?
Vermont.
She fled to Vermont. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Vermont, she married a man named Charles Plaistel, but after 2 weeks of them being married, she disappeared. The general theme here with her marriages is that most of the men she married were elderly, they were older, and in the military, which means that they had military pensions.
I was going to say they had money of some sort.
Yeah. It's speculated that the death of some of her husbands was intentional, but other than the attempted murder of Smith, there was no proof that she had actually murdered them. But there are allegations that she was physically and verbally abusive to her husbands. We'll get a little bit more into her mental state later on in the line. We can get a better picture of
Listen,
who this woman
I'm just
was.
Grateful that my mental state is not as bad as all the people we talk about.
Same.
I am grateful for that.
Yeah.
So
it makes me feel like I'm doing something right. At least we go to therapy.
I'm medicated. I'm not laughing at mental illness. I'm laughing at myself, everybody. Mental illness is not funny. It's good to laugh at myself about it because I have no other way to cope.
Yeah. Really quick side.
Please.
Side
I'm going to take a sip of my coffee while you do this.
Yeah. So, this week, I've been going to therapy again for the past couple weeks, which, woohoo, yay, I'm going back to therapy.
So proud of you.
Thanks. It only took me 3 years, but I used to see this therapist when I was a teenager. So she knows a little bit of my background and my history, whatever. And lately, we've been kind of just, like, talking, you know, like, my surface level concerns. I guess we haven't really gotten into the nitty-gritty of my mental illness.
Like everything that I know?
Yeah. I haven't truly unpacked everything yet, but this past session, we like, the whole first half hour, we were talking about, like, oh, like, my sleep schedule and what I did this week and whatever, and I was just, like, you know, giving her a brief overview of what had happened since the last time we spoke, and then at the very end of the session, she's like, so is there anything else you want to talk about? And I was like, actually, yeah. And then I went into detail about, like, my past relationship. And she was like, so basically telling
time.
Me, like, we don't have time to unpack all that. But she was like, because I value your time. And I was like, thank you. But I love how, like, I was like, yeah, like, my week was great, blah, blah, blah. Also, here's a lot of trauma that I want to talk about but don't want to actually unpack, which I mean,
I used
at least
to do that with mine, and I found out I used to wait to the last minute to say the worst shit because I just didn't want to talk about it, but I
yep.
felt obligated to because I'm giving her money to do so.
Yeah.
Real quick, also super unrelated, I'm so happy because my therapist, we switched insurance like 2 years ago and they wouldn't accept my therapist, but I'd been with her for 3 or 4 years at that point. And they finally just accepted her.
Wait,
which means,
really?
Yes. So now
wow,
I don't have to worry about giving her money if my medical card runs out, like my HSA
yeah,
runs
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I used to pay her out of pocket if it did. And
right,
now I don't have to worry
right.
about that anymore. And I'm so
fucking Oh, that's amazing.
I literally cried when she told me. And she's like, Audrey, please stop crying. And I was like, I can't. I just love you.
Well, that's like, so, that's makes everything so much easier because then you don't have to worry about it or deal with it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digressed. Continue.
Oh, no, it's okay. We went on to a tangent about therapy. It's fine.
Okay.
Well, I just thought it was funny how I was like, yeah,
I know it's helpful for people when other people are very open about their mental health. So I'm like, not trying to make anyone uncomfortable, but in the past when I have talked about mental health on social media and everything, even before the podcast, people would message me and say, hey, thanks for bringing this to light, or thank you for talking about this because it's something I've been struggling with or something I'm embarrassed about, and like I feel like I have no one to talk to, and now I can talk to you. So I don't know, I just feel like it's okay to address it on the podcast. If you don't like it, go fuck yourself kindly.
Yeah. Hold on a minute, I need to figure something out because I have a I'm so sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, like, there were so many details that were, like, all mixed up in my sources. So then in my notes, I got mixed up. Okay, I'm just going to ignore it for now.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. I
figured it out.
I'm so sorry. I figured it out, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so there are allegations that she was physically and verbally abusive to her husbands. So after she fled Vermont, her son was released from the institution because he was institutionalized.
I forgot previously. About that. Do you know how old he was?
No idea.
Okay.
And her and her son stayed with a family by the name of the McQuillans in Philadelphia. The McQuillan family knew Lizzie's family back in Ireland, and when they had all moved back to the States, they were neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
One source says that she rented a storefront with an apartment above it. I don't know if she lived with them or got a place and lived by them. She was associated with the McQuillan family when she moved with her son back to Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Okay. She opened up a storefront, but quickly after she opened it, it was burned down.
Oh, Jesus.
An investigation happened, and she was convicted of fraud because she burned it down for the insurance money.
I was about to ask, or like, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, yeah. And she served 2 years at the Pennsylvania State Penitentiary. So in 1889, she got out of prison, and she moved to Burlingame, New York, and became a housekeeper for a man named Paul Halliday, which is...
Oh, like that last name.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does.
She used an alias and went by Lizzie Brown. Paul was 70 years old, a veteran, and a widow.
Oh.
Shocker. Yeah. He had two sons, one which lived with him because he was mentally handicapped. You can probably
gonna,
see
like,
where this...
take advantage of this poor old man.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's, I mean, it's very interesting. Like, the case is, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's not that it's, you know, fun. It's just interesting. Yeah.
It's not, like, spoiler, it's not, like, gruesome. I mean, it's not great. It's not good.
None of this is ever fun.
You know, but it's not super, super gruesome like some of our other cases. And last time I said that, I was kind of lying, but this time I'm not lying. I swear.
Okay. Yeah, last time you said that, it absolutely destroyed me and I cried for 20 minutes, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, you're not.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So, he had one son, mentally handicapped. Eventually, she married this guy, too. Surprise, surprise. The marriage was very rocky because of her spells of insanity, as he would say.
He would say or she would say?
He would say.
Okay.
That she was just insane.
I mean,
she stole,
I'd say so.
Yeah, me too. She stole a team of horses and ran away with the neighbor and they eloped.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Just a weird little quirk she has. Or I guess she was just like in a silly, goofy mood. Anyway.
Great.
Also, what's her issue? Like, here's my thing. If you're going to like marry so many people, first of all, how is she still getting these guys to marry her with her track record? Like, does nobody like question her behavior or like anything or like why she's had so many husbands pass away? Like, nobody is like afraid of her? Or like, I'm just confused.
I don't think back then it was really, I mean, people just didn't know. There wasn't social media or, you know, national news.
That's true. It's just strange to me how she keeps pulling these guys. And they're just like, all right. So she stole this team of horses, eloped with this neighbor, and then sold the horses, and her neighbor husband left her. Surprise.
And wait, wasn't she married to the...
Yes.
So
she was married to Paul. God. Still is married to Paul, and then eloped with the neighbor. And then she got arrested and was found to be insane, so they sent her to a mental institution. In either 1891 or 1893, sources say different things, she was released and returned to Paul Halliday's home. Later that year, the house and the barn were burned to the ground, and Paul's son, who lived with him, passed away in the fire.
Mm.
After the fire, Paul was still missing, and people were starting to get suspicious of Lizzie because of her track record.
Mm-hmm. As they should.
Some sources say that she claimed that he was traveling, while others say that she said he died in the fire. I feel like maybe she was telling people different things. Maybe she, like, her story was, like, mixed up, and that's why people were suspicious of her, because she was saying, she was changing up the story.
So that actually is a narcissism thing. What narcissists will do is they will tell people different stories until they can find a story that the person will believe. And so that's why her stories were probably all mixed up, because she was telling different stories based on who would believe them.
Right. That would make sense. Either way, nobody believed what she had to say. And the house, there was a warrant to search the house, and it, they went through it. When it was searched, Paul's bedroom door was locked, and Lizzie was the one who had the key.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Two bodies were found in the haystack near the barn and would later be identified as Margaret and Sarah McQuillan, the daughters of the family who she stayed with in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
The ones from Ireland?
Yes.
Whoa, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So now it's not even just her husband's for money. It's her friend's children.
Yes.
That's so fucked up.
Their family, friends, children.
That's so fucked up.
My question is how she got them there. Because, like, yes, all of this happened very quickly, but to go from Pennsylvania up to New York, like...
Without a car?
Without a fucking horse-drawn
carriage, that shit?
Right. Like, how did she get them there? Unless they went to go visit her or something? I have no idea.
Wondering if, because they were family friends, if she was like, oh, I'm going to take them, they can stay with me for a couple days, or like...
Right. But my question then is, like, when did those murders happen?
Right.
Because she was living with Paul, and then she was put into an institution, so either it happened before she was institutionalized or after. I have no idea. It's just very strange.
Did it say, like, I know this is a graphic and disgusting question, but did it say how decomposed the bodies were?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, they were recognizable enough for them back in 1890 to recognize, right. Like, identify the bodies, so I assume that they probably weren't that decomposed.
I'm assuming that it probably happened after she was institutionalized.
Yeah, probably when she came back.
Because even though it's not hot all year round, they're still, like, they would have decomposed very quickly, especially if they were outside. Animals would have gotten to them. And
I was also reading, like, some sources say it happened in May, some sources say, like when the fire happened, it was either in May or June. And Paul was eventually, or I'm sorry. Wait. Yeah, Paul. Why did I write John? In my notes, I wrote John's body, but his name is not John. His name is Paul. I'm so sorry. Paul's body was eventually found under the floorboards of his house, and all three victims were shot. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh.
So, she was arrested and was held in a jail. And while she awaited trial, she caused quite a scene. Actually, several scenes.
Right.
She would refuse to eat. She set fire to her bed. She tried to hang herself.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, she sliced her own throat, saying, I thought I would cut myself to see if I would bleed.
This woman.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
So many things. So many things are wrong with her.
They should have kept her in the institution.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's lit, what, two, three fires? There were three fires at this point.
I just want to know, like, what made them think that it was safe for her to go be in the general public again.
Well, there's also something that happens later on in this, too. Because we're almost done. We're almost done. But there's something that I literally asked myself that same question. I was like, why would they let her do this after giving her history? She behaved so erratically that people thought she was trying to fake insanity. And then I wrote, I personally do not think that she was faking it. This woman was bonkers.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't think anyone would go to those lengths just to fake insanity. Also, she was already been institutionalized before this. So, and she's been to prison.
Yeah.
No.
No.
And she was so erratic that she had to be chained to the floor.
Chained to the fucking floor?
Yes.
I'm sorry. If someone has to be chained to the fucking floor, they should not be in society living a life. Sorry.
No. Her gruesome story got national coverage, and some tabloids even said that she was Jack the Ripper. It was around the same time, but not in the U.S., so I don't know why they...
Because she... could have still been in the UK or in Ireland when...
No, because her family moved here when she was, like, a young girl.
Oh.
I think she was just so terrible that they compared her to Jack the Ripper, because that's...
Mm.
They felt just as shocked about her stuff
as
people did about Jack the Ripper. And she was also called the worst woman on Earth.
Yeah. No, Catherine Knight is the worst woman on Earth, but... Do you know who that is?
No.
Oh.
In June of 1894, Halliday was convicted of killing Margaret and Sarah McQuillan and was sentenced to death by electrocution. Also, the other thing about this is, like, why was she convicted for the McQuillan sisters, but not for her husband?
Yeah, I don't...
Because everywhere I read, it said that she was just convicted for killing Margaret and Sarah, but not for killing Paul.
Did it say explicitly that she wasn't convicted?
No, it didn't. It just said that she was convicted.
Because I'm wondering if the two. It was one of those things. Because sometimes if something's just implied, they don't go through a whole nother trial for it. If the offense is already like a life in prison or a death penalty offense.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. She was sentenced to death by electrocution. She was the first woman ever to have this sentence. But this sentence was commuted as she was found to be insane. So then she was sentenced to live the rest of her life in a mental institution.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. I can go to sleep tonight knowing that.
Just a little bit more, yeah.
God damn it, Addie. I thought that was the end of it.
Sorry. No, it's not the end of it. So while she was at the institution, okay, some sources said that she was a model patient and was trusted with sewing privileges. Which, why they would allow this, I have no idea.
Imagine giving her a needle.
Imagine giving her a pair of scissors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot that those are sewing. I was literally sewing yesterday.
Other sources say that she attacked many of the workers there.
Oh!
Which also makes sense. That makes sense to me more than her being a model patient. Because I don't think she would just go and be like, okay, I'm turning over a new leaf. Which, obviously, she didn't, based on this next fact. She grew close to another attendant, and then I put in parentheses, or nurse, because sources say different things, at the institution named Nellie Wicks. And after Wicks confided in her that she wanted to leave the institution, Lizzie became upset, and she retaliated. And she ended up stabbing Nellie over 200 times with a pair of scissors.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
200 times?
Yeah.
Do you know how much fucking effort it takes to stab somebody? And then 200 goddamn times?
Yes. All because she wanted to leave.
When you have attachment issues?
Yeah.
When you have separation anxiety? Holy shit.
When you're codependent?
When you're codependent. Dude, what the fuck? 200?
Yeah.
That's so goddamn excessive.
Yeah.
Talk about fucking overkill. I'm not getting over that ever. And she considered her a friend? Like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah. Like, they were friends. They were like, I guess they got along or something. And she just wanted to leave, and then...
Well, because, like, I understand having, like, a favorite doctor or specialist or whatever. Like, nurse.
Right.
Whatever her title was. Like, I understand being in a position where, like, you have your safe person. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, I'm not trying to compare the mental institution to summer camp, but, like, you always had your favorite camp counselors, you know?
Yeah.
The ones that you, like, felt safe with. You weren't necessarily friends. You know, it was a very professional
relationship, so to speak. And I can assume, also, after, like, again, given her history, the reason why she's there, like, people probably didn't want to be near her. So maybe Nellie was the one person that was just, like, I will.
Nellie was probably such a good person. She was like, I understand that these people are mentally ill and that, like, it's not that they can't help it, but also, you know, they're mentally ill. Like, they don't have anybody else.
Yeah.
Now I'm angry. Is there more?
No, that's it. The end of it is that eventually she died in 1918 due to Bright's disease, which is a kind of kidney disease.
Good. Fuck her. Poor Nellie. Yep. Why am I so sad now? It's actually
a normal reaction.
No, it's okay.
I mean, after hearing how she died, like, because not to downplay her other victims' deaths, because they're still, like,
brutal.
Yeah, brutal. But they, at least, like, they didn't suffer, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know this, but I can assume because they were shot, like, they probably didn't suffer, which... Yes.
Not nearly as... I mean, you can survive getting stabbed several times.
Right. But
it takes
200 times is a lot.
I mean, it's unlikely that she survived past 10 at most, maybe five. But, I mean, depending where she got stabbed, but at the same time, it's like, you know that she suffered.
Yeah.
Because gunshots can be not necessarily all the time. Like, if you shoot someone in the leg and leave them to bleed out, you know, if you shoot them in, like, one of their arteries and leave them to bleed out, they won't necessarily die from the wound, but they'll die from blood loss, and that's painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, like, kind of a one, it's still a one and done thing. I don't want to say it like that because it's not what I mean. I don't know what I mean. I mean, I know what I mean. I don't know how to say what I mean.
Right, right.
But getting stabbed is so brutal.
And it feels like, I don't know, to me, like, that one feels more personal.
It does, 100%.
Than the other ones, which I don't know why she, I mean,
because it, like, seems to Paul, me, it's the only person she cared about. That's what makes it personal.
Right. Like, she didn't like Paul. Like, again, she probably only married him because
for the money.
He was old and had money. Yeah. And their relationship, again, was not very good. Like, it was known that she didn't really like him. I don't know why she killed the sisters. There's no information about that. So, like, maybe that one was personal, too. I have no idea. But because they gave, like, details about how they were friends and stuff, I can imagine that that last one was probably, like, the most personal one. Because she was upset that she wanted to leave.
Right.
That Nellie wanted to leave. So, it's just upsetting. But, I mean, she died of freaking kidney failure, basically. So
that's a painful way to go.
Yep.
I had kidney issues when I came out of the womb, so
she died
I don't remember them, but I know from what my mother told me it fucking sucked.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's not interesting at all in, like, a good way. I think it's interesting because I had never heard of this person before I looked it up, but it's, like, I guess kind of, like, well-known in New York. Like, it's just interesting that someone so infamous lives, like, so close to home for me. So I thought it was...
Well...
I just thought it was a little interesting. Thought I'd share.
It was like when I was telling you that the Pamela Smart case, I had never heard of it, but it literally happened in 1990, 10 years before I was born. And it happened, like, half an hour from where I grew up. And that, like, fucked with me because it was the first live broadcasted case in the country. And I was like, how the fuck did I not know about this?
Yeah. Also, same with the abductions. I didn't know about them, even though they're very well known. When we talked about, that was the first podcast that I was on.
Oh, the New Hampshire alien abductions? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That one was super interesting because I was like, we got to go visit and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That was so close to you.
Bear Brook and the alien abductions. If you live in New Hampshire, like, I really don't think there's any way to avoid knowing about those.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things that if you don't live in New Hampshire, you don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, like Bear Brook, it's one of those scary campfire stories. And then the alien thing, we just pride ourselves on it because we don't have anything aside from trees and bugs.
Same.
Yeah, no. They're like, you know what? Let's pride ourselves on our trees and also aliens. Yeah. And that's what we have here. So
my hometown area is, like, known for, like, Revolutionary War stuff and the path that, like, George Washington took and stuff. Like, that's all that's known around here for me. Mm-hmm. So, kind of the same thing, but also not, but also kind of, I don't know. We don't have much to go off of.
Well, that was good. I enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't, but you know what I mean. It ruined me a little bit, but not a lot.
Worst woman on earth.
Nope, Catherine Knight.
I mean, I'm just saying what tabloids were saying.
Catherine Knight was not around when this happened, but by far the worst woman in history was Catherine Knight. And I actually, it could be Carla Homolka or Myra Hindley. There's
a
lot,
a bunch of names that I don't know.
They're all people you do not want me to talk about ever.
Oh, okay.
Like, actually. Great. It would actually give you nightmares. Catherine Knight, I do want to cover that. I probably will do it next week, actually.
Dun-da-da-da.
Dun-da-da. A lot of people know about that one, though, but I think it was in Australia.
Not me, apparently.
Most people that listen to podcasts know about Catherine Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm the worst true crime podcaster because I don't know half of, like, the cases that, like, a lot of people know about. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I have no idea what that is. Oh, yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, but it makes it fun because I get to surprise you. And also, you kind of surprise yourself when you're doing research. And I'm shocked because every case you've covered, I have not heard about.
Yeah, I think it's because they're very central to my
area.
I live. Yeah. Which is what I'm kind of trying to do because, one, it's kind of interesting to hear a little bit of history about where I live, but also it's interesting to hear how you react because most of the time, like, you know all of, like, the popular, not popular, but, like, you know very well-known people and even people that I've never heard
even of. I even know, like, a lot of the lesser-known ones, too, so.
Right, yeah, so that's why it's nice to surprise you sometimes. And you're like, I've never heard of this. It's like, okay, great, neither have I. Let's do it.
You know what I just thought of? You know who's the worst woman in the world ever? Gertrude Banaszewski.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Single-handedly one of the worst. Will never get over that. I will never get over that. The hatred that I feel for that woman is
I literally hate the intense. Actress that played her in the movie just because she played her.
Yeah.
Not actually.
Which means she did her role very well.
She did her role well. We should probably do our spiel.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do you want me to do it or do you want to do it again?
You could do it since I did it last time.
Okay. Because I know you got excited about it, so. All right. If you enjoy our podcast a lot and want to support us in a different way rather than just listening or giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and telling that 1-star reviewer to go fuck himself or herself or themself, still respecting your pronouns, you can donate to our Patreon for $5 a month. You get our episodes earlier than most people will get them. So, you know, sometimes that's 3 hours before the release or up to a week before the release. It kind of depends in the mood that I'm in. Sometimes those episodes are less edited, so you hear more of our bullshit. So that is at patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp. You can find us on Twitter at nightmaretcp. Instagram is at yourworstnightmaretcp. And Gmail is yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com. Send us your stories of encounters with spirits, ghosts, murderers, any creepy stories that you have, because at some point we do want to do a listener episode series. In case you didn't catch on, literally everything is Your Worst Nightmare TCP, except for our Twitter. It's just Nightmare
because
TCP.
Because for some reason, when I was making the Twitter, it was too many characters.
Yeah,
so I had to cut
it's
it down
just
to Nightmare TCP.
Your Worst Nightmare TCP for everything, and then Twitter's just Nightmare TCP. What? Will this be coming out? Oh, my God. On the 4th, which is tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, so we'll see you in 7 days, which brings us to the 11th, I think.
Oh, crap.
What?
Sorry. I just remembered something that I'm doing. I'll talk to you.
Okay. Anyway.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, we will see you in a week or maybe not. I don't know. Depends how life goes, all right? Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.